Hey, so you've never heard this time. Second episode of the recording session.
Getting
a little
back.
Silly. Patrick's back, everybody. How's it going?
It's going great.
Good.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm one claw in, so.
One claw deep.
One claw deep.
I'm on my second Miller Lite.
Yeah. Are you having regrets?
No regrets. No regrets. Cool. But, you know, I'm glad that... This is like a diet beer.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just like keep making healthy choices today.
Yeah. I think the claws were the right choice for me just because like if I have too many beers in a row anymore, like it just feels like I'm eating an entire loaf of bread.
I know that feeling really well.
And it's not my favorite feeling. But we're not here to talk about how my body is failing me the older I get.
We're not here to talk about bread loaves.
No, we're not here to talk about... the awesome visuals in Spirited Away, which is what we're watching right now. We're here to talk about music, and I have brought you, when you land here, It's Time to Return by Flake Music.
Flake Music. I've never heard this.
You've never heard this?
One and a two and a one, two, three, four. Hey man, there's this band I love, and I know you love them too. But you're just shaking your head like you haven't got a clue. Well, what are we gonna do about it?
I've got an idea. Start a podcast and talk about it while sipping on a beer.
You've never heard this.
You've never heard this.
You've never heard this.
You've never heard this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. Did you know who Flake Music was before?
I totally forgot. There's like Hot Water Music. And right, there's some other band that has music in their name.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, which one is it? And then I looked it up and I remembered.
You're like, oh yeah. So guys, Flake Music does not have a Wikipedia page. Because if you type in Flake Music, it just redirects you to The Shins.
The Shins.
And there's a reason for that. James Mercer from The Shins started Flake Music in 1992. They're from Albuquerque, New Mexico. They were so short-lived that even the album that we're talking about is the only album that they recorded is on Wikipedia is considered a part of The Shins discography.
Yeah.
So...
They were like, this isn't different than what that was.
It is like in some ways, but there are definitely some similarities. So I have told you everything you need to know about Flake Music other than the band members. So it's James Mercer, as I said, Jesse Sandoval, Martin Crandall, and Neil Langford. Mercer left this band to form The Shins, and he brought Jesse Sandoval, the drummer, with him. I need to find this Pitchfork review for one of the times it has been reissued.
Because it's reissued multiple times?
I think just twice. Let me look here. Nope, sorry. Well, it's a weird thing because it said it was reissued in 2014, and Kenny Takahashi from Danger Mouse was the one who... mixed it. But then I click on this link to the Pitchfork review and it's from 2011 or excuse me.
What?
2003.
Time machine.
Which is very strange. It's a great review though. It talks a lot about like the clear influences you can hear on this album before The Shins were The Shins.
Oh.
So,
I want to know more about that.
The first line of the review is, oh, bands are so cute in their impressionable stage. I'm not being condescending. I swear they really are cute. Any of us who've picked up a Gibson knockoff were probably musical silly putty at one point or another. As a peace offering to illustrate my complete lack of condescension, I fully disclose that my high school band would frequently cover Pavement, AC/DC, and Fish. You can only imagine the flipper baby monstrosities that were our original songs. Here's a taste. One was called Jabberwocky.
I miss the vintage Pitchfork.
Snarky Pitchfork.
They didn't take themselves too seriously.
No, they really didn't, and now they take themselves too seriously. But we'll get more into those influences as we talk about the album. At first, I couldn't find who even had produced it, but I found the guy's name if my little digital notebook... Oh, Del Winiecki. I found him on Discogs. This is the only album to his credit.
Whoa.
So I don't know if he's produced anything else, but, you know, maybe without him, we never would have gotten the Shins. So
if you're in Albuquerque, if you can, New Mexico.
Yeah, if look him up. If you like the Shins, then give this guy some credit. Sorry for the lack of bio on this band, because there really wasn't any. And if you want to know about the Shins, just go listen to our Shins episode. I'm not going to rehash it. So,
can you remind me what album you did?
We did O Inverted World.
Nice.
Yeah. So I love that album. Let's just get into it.
Let's get into
it. Track number one is called Spanway Hits.
Use a pen to reflect what you've got left to protect on the old dusty shelves in your childhood room. You've got a lot to go on, posters of Simon Le Bon. But I hope you decide in case you ever try. This is what you're gonna call bottles of fluorescent foam. Hope the major falls home in time or I might cry. Cut all these ties you see how far apart we are. Now two of us sees our acts alike.
So I always love a review that can be honest, but like not condescendingly so, like this Pitchfork review. So after talking about some of the tracks on the album and their various influences, what's this guy's name? Rob Mitchum says,
shout out to all the Mitchum heads listening.
Yeah, all the Mitchum heads. And given the 1997 original born on date of the album and the considerable zest with which each tribute is performed, the affair is extremely forgivable. This is, after all, the kind of bedroom music Pitchfork was conceived to back in the day, so don't mind us if we feel a wee bit nostalgic. Most of the floundering here is due to frontman James Mercer still hunting for a comfortable voice. Ironically, opening track Spanway Hits captures much of the Shins formula right off the bat. Mercer straining for the upper registers, and the band all perky New Mexico sunshine. It's as clear to the listener as it is apparently was to the band that Spanway Hits and the other crystal ball moment, DeLuca, marked the correct path for he and his mates to travel, even if neither tune approaches the lowest rung of O Inverted World.
That's an opinion.
It sure is. I love this song. It's jangly as hell, and I love jangly tunes. This album this album also could not be any more opposite Twin Plagues.
I was thinking the same thing. And I don't know if it's corny to talk about, like, oh yeah, we just recorded another episode. You know, and you're hearing this a week later, but
we talk about that all the time.
Yeah. That's okay. Fine. Great. Yeah. Great. And I don't think it's corny at all, but, I think that it's just,
also our show. We can do what we want.
It's just so funny that, we were listening to like what was essentially like a dirge and now it's
for a
like,
ghost dog.
And now it's like just so quirked up.
Yep. It's amazing. I love it. Sammy, go back over there. Go lay down. Yeah, no, I agree. It's like, yeah, ghost of a dog. And then we live in New Mexico. Life is great. Sun shines all the time.
Have you ever heard of the Beatles?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so awesome. We're going to be the Shins one day. Like,
Okay, I just remembered a really funny story, which is that in middle school, I had this teacher that we all bullied because we
got to bully a teacher sometimes.
It's funny because now I'm a teacher and I think back to it and I'm like, he was so cool and I knew he was cool, but I had to bully him with everybody else
to fit in. Yeah.
Yeah. And now I get bullied as a teacher and I'm like, I deserve it. It's no big deal. I deserve it. I remember he would tell us, oh, my band's got a show tonight. And he had this very quirky voice. And we asked him, what kind of music do you play? And he said, Baroque pop.
Yes. So dude, middle school kids would bully the shit out of out of that. That's so funny. Pardon me real quick. I gotta take my dog out. She didn't go potty earlier, so she's whining at me. Give me one sec.
Take a potty break.
Yeah, potty break. Oh, heavens. Okay. We're back. My dog still didn't go to the bathroom because she's a jerk. I don't remember what we were saying, so we're going to go to track number two. It's called Blast Valve. There's a crowd that believes any lie that do you want to take a wild? Oh my gosh! Stop. A wild guess as to which band this Pitchfork reviewer said this song reminds him of?
I truly don't know where I would start.
This is driving me crazy. Sorry, guys.
Maybe we'll never know.
Maybe we'll never know. So he says, when you land here, it's time to return is far from an amateur souvenir of Battle of the Bands 1 studio time. But at times, it unflinchingly illustrates a group that wears its influences on its sleeve like a stock car wears its sponsors. Burnt Valve is the most obvious culprit. A song so enthralled with There's Nothing Wrong with Love, which is a Built to Spill album, that it makes flake music sound like those weirdos that sit in the art museum all day drawing exact replicas of famous portraits. But hell, it's such a believable, lovable forgery, only a tyrannical dictator could hate it. March himself would probably be fooled into thinking he wrote it.
Wow.
And if recorded sound is the canvas art of the future, it's going to take a pretty sharp team of curators to separate it from a precious Built to Spill original.
That's so weird. I was like really thinking today about how would I describe the Shins to somebody who'd never heard them before?
Yeah.
Who do they sound like? And I discovered the Shins around the same time that I discovered Built to Spill.
Okay.
So it's really weird to think of Built to Spill inspiring the Shins.
Huh, okay.
But I think that reviewer is totally correct.
Yeah.
Like they hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, especially with like the how much the guitar, like they bend the notes. That's mm-hmm. such a Built to Spill like mechanic.
Totally.
I just thought it was fun to hear a band that I'm really familiar with like still defining their sound.
Totally.
It's almost like like I've never, like these really famous bands that I love, like I never saw them in their infancy, like still honing that in and like live shows and stuff. But that's almost what this feels like, is like getting to catch the Shins when they like, they've only been together for a month, you know? And sure. Like, okay, I guess we're going to play these shows. And like, they're still just trying to figure out what they sound like.
And they still have to work for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what this reminds me of. All right. Track three. We're probably not going to listen to all of, cause it's only a minute 20 and it's an instrumental. It is called Rosier.
There's a gremlin.
There. That is really pissing me off. I think we... Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to share a microphone, Patrick.
we might have to. So,
maybe if I...
Well, I guess I can take over the podcast.
Yeah, it's your podcast now.
It's my podcast now. But I listening to that song, it does feel like such an indie comedy, like a soundtrack for a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I would watch it.
Me too. No wonder Zach Braff loves the Shins so much.
And does he ever?
Does he ever?
Is there a world without Zach Braff where the Shins are as big as they got?
Nope. Probably it's him. Not. He did it.
Natalie Portman and Zach Braff.
So I think that the only part of Garden State that holds up is the soundtrack.
Sure.
I recently watched it as a man in my 30s, and I'm like super annoyed at Zach Braff's character. I'm like, dude, get a real job. Just, you know, like settle. You have no security at all, and you're just falling for this girl you just met. You know, high school Alan, I ate that shit up.
Totally.
I was like, yeah, that sounds so great. But now I'm like married and like for 10 years almost. And I'm like, dude, settle down.
Hey, congratulations.
Thanks. but the soundtrack still rules.
It does. It does. I don't, I haven't revisited the movie and I don't really need to.
Don't rewatch it. Whatever memory you have of it, like just keep that.
I will keep that.
Because a rewatch is going to ruin it for you.
Yeah. All I remember is that scene where she's like got her helmet on and she's like listening to headphones and she's like, you gotta hear this.
This band will change your life.
This band
and it's new slang by the Shins.
Which is an incredibly good song.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's life changing though. I mean, it did kind of like change my music life.
You gotta listen to this quirked up guy whistle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll change your
life. It'll change your life.
You're going to move to Portland, Oregon.
Some people might even say for the worse. Let's listen to track four. It's called Structo.
Thank you.
I thought of one way that this album and Twin Plagues are similar.
Emo.
This song also sounds like a Weezer song.
It does. Are you familiar with the term slowcore?
A little bit, yeah.
I feel
is
like,
this a slowcore song?
I mean, it's a little fast for slowcore. But it's got that the way the guitar sounds, and just kind of the noodliness of it.
Yeah.
It's a little Built to Spill, but it's like a sad Built to Spill.
Okay.
It's like Duster is what it reminds me of.
Okay. Oh man.
I think your mic cord is
Definitely the cord. Sorry, guys. Again, I'm not an engineer. This microphone was like $60 on Amazon. So, I'm really hoping that I get to go see Weezer in October.
You're going to go see Weezer?
Maybe. Yeah, thinking about it, it's the 30th anniversary of the Blue Album.
And they're going to play the whole thing.
Yep. With Dinosaur Jr. and Flaming Lips.
That's like a 30 something to 50 something dude
wet dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Should be fun. I mean, to this day, I've said it a million times. Say It Ain't So is my favorite song in the world.
It's your favorite song in the world?
Yep. Out of all the songs.
Wow. That's one of my favorite karaoke songs.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Here, why don't you borrow my microphone?
Okay.
Maybe. Nope. Was it your microphone this whole time? Might have been your mic this whole time. Nope. It was definitely mine. Wow. What a lame thing to happen in the middle of an episode.
Notice? How I just got thrown under the bus.
I thought it was yours because I couldn't hear anything. Fun.
I think I can work with this.
Cool. All right. That's good to know. Wow. Sorry, guys. That's really lame. But again, doing this out of my house. So
Weezer, you said Say It Ain't So is your favorite song?
Yeah. In the whole world.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why. I just love it.
Yeah.
It's a great song. It's solid.
The last time I tried to sing that for karaoke, they said, no, we won't allow you to sing it. And I was like,
why?
I'm at a karaoke bar. And they're like, too many people sing this song. It brings the vibe down.
That's so funny.
It's been retired.
Wow. I've never once been to a place that does karaoke and they've said, you can't do that.
Yeah. Have you been to Baby Kitten Club?
No, but it sounds really pretentious.
It sounds gross, but it's not gross. And I know, you know, we barely talked about Flake Music, but we got to talk about Baby Kitten Club.
Yeah. Lay it on me.
It started out as a like karaoke pop-up where this guy would like show up with his like, artisan karaoke tracks, very okay. Portland. And he would like take tracks from indie songs and stuff that he liked, and he would cut the vocals out of them.
Okay.
And then like make the backdrops. So he would make
super
his own
illegal. I love it.
Yeah. He'd make his own karaoke. And then he opened his own spot, and it's got a big karaoke room and a bunch of little private rooms. So you can just go there and do regular karaoke any day of the week.
Except Say It Ain't So by Weezer.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can sing it in the private room, but they don't want it in public.
Okay, that's funny.
And I'm sure there's other like kind of old hat songs that they're like, nope, no more Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah, for sure. Some that really do truly deserve to be retired.
Yeah, but the karaoke song book is like thicker than a Bible.
I love it. That's good to know because I think I told Chelsea for my birthday this year, I want to do that. I want to rent out a karaoke room for my birthday in Portland. So
I want to invite.
You're in, man.
I'm going to sing Flake Music.
You're one of the only people I know who lives in Portland. So just that alone gets you an invite. But more importantly, you're one of my good friends. So
I can't wait.
Yeah. So make some time in June. No teaching in June. So unless you're doing summer school. Are you doing summer school?
Literally
during our last recording, I just got the email that I got hired to teach summer school.
Nice. That's awesome.
It's great because I need money.
Well, good thing school doesn't happen at night, which is when we'll be at
Baby Clinton.
Clinton, yeah, we'll go with that. That's what I was almost about to say. Those wet claws, they're hitting. That's not true. All right. We're getting off the rails here, just like the good old days of the podcast, before Paul made it all serious. Let's go to track 5. It is called Candy Dish of Diamonds. I do not like this. It was very pointless.
And
annoying.
I kind of wonder if they were trying to like fill up a whole album.
I think they were. And here's what tells me that, because this song and then two other songs in the album didn't even have names until this 2014 reissue.
There you go.
Was it
untitled?
They were just called untitled or didn't have a title on the track listing.
Okay. Yeah. Weird.
So I think it's just literally them like, just play something into the mic real quick.
Like
we're testing out the sound, and then they just recorded it and we're like, yeah, that's good.
Play something that feels like a Gumby episode.
Yes. Oh man, you're absolutely right. That's total Gumby music.
Yeah, and also we're watching Adventure Time now.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
It really works.
It really worked for Adventure Time. Yeah. But now it's Christmas Island.
I looked up some of the other albums that came out when this album came out in 1997.
Ooh, yeah. Lay it on me.
So here's some of my favorite ones. We got Either Or, Elliot Smith. Oh,
my favorite Elliot Smith album.
Yeah. Probably mine too. Yeah. Modest Mouse, Lonesome Crowded West.
Uh-huh.
And which I think has a lot of crossover with this.
Yeah.
Blur, their self-titled. Yeah. What is the Foo Fighters album? I didn't write it down. The 97 Foo Fighters album.
With like Everlong on it?
Yeah.
Color and the Shape.
Yep. That came out in 97. Built to Spill, Perfect From Now On.
Okay.
Came out. Green Day put out an album. Yo La Tango put out an album.
Wow.
Third Eye Blind put out their self-titled.
Yeah.
Same. So that's kind of what was happening.
Wow.
That was kind of what was happening when this
came out. So this album came out at the same time as another album that features a song about crystal meth and blowjobs. I almost said in a movie theater, but I conflated that with Alanis Morissette.
Wait.
Third Eye Blind.
Oh, I thought you were saying that that's what this album
No. That Third Eye Blind album is okay. About crystal meth and blowjobs.
Great. Cool.
Not the whole album, just that song.
Okay. So not similar to Flake music.
Semi-charm. Not at all. No. That's so funny.
Semi-charm flakes.
Let's take a break. Yeah. See you soon.
Howdy, podcast listeners. I'm Trevor T. Trujillo.
And I'm Matt Foster. And together, we co-host the Nighthawks podcast, a movie-centric podcast that covers just about everything. Big films.
Citizen Kane, Casablanca, The Avengers, Star Wars.
The films that aren't as big on budget, but we still love.
Found footage 3D, The Big Lebowski.
Not to mention films from distant shores.
Lone Wolf and Cub, Dearest Sister.
Plus, we have some great guests like Alamo Drafthouse founder Tim Lee.
Episode 7.
Dr. Strange writer C. Robert Cargill.
Episode 100.
Director Steven DiGennaro.
Episode 53, episode 100.
Or you can listen to any of the over 120 other episodes we have on deck for you.
Instant classics.
Find us on all good podcatchers.
Apple Podcasts. Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Audible, Spotify.
Or at our website.
NighthawksPodcast.com.
Join our cult.
Probably not a real cult.
It's a real cult.
Podcasting on a budget sucks. So give us your money.
Give Alan your money.
Yeah.
And Kirk and Paul.
Yeah. Well, not Kirk.
But mostly Alan.
Yeah. I got some microphones I need to buy. Or at least the cords. These microphones are pretty good for $60.
I agree.
But yeah, it's the cords apparently that break down after a while. Let's go forward.
Let's keep going. Let's keep hearing this.
Track number 6 is the other song that Pitchfork guy, Rob Mitchum, all you Mitchum heads out there. It's the other track that he said sounded the most like the Shins. So, yeah, it's called DeLuca. Like pretty much right away, I disagreed with that reviewer. This sounds nothing like the Shins.
Totally. This is like the heaviest the Shins have ever sounded.
Yeah.
Like they're going hard.
Uh-huh. I love this song, but I that's not a comparison that I'm willing to make.
Not at all. Who would you compare this to?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I think this is kind of like the sound that they shed a little more.
Yeah.
And they kind of went a little more, like refined and like, you know, buttoned up.
Yes. No, I agree. I almost wish they had kept this a little bit because I like it.
I want them to bring this back.
Yeah, they should. They should just reform Flake Music and play this instead.
Totally.
I got nothing else for you on this one.
It's just a great song.
Have we reached the song yet that you were familiar with?
It was the first song.
Spanway Hits. Okay, yeah,
and
cool.
And that first song I heard, I just remember hearing it and thinking, oof, this is not good. Like, this is not the Shins.
Did
like,
you know it was related to the Shins at all?
Or? Yeah. I mean, I had heard that it was being re-released.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
And so I checked it out, and I just really didn't like it when I first heard it, and so I didn't listen to the rest of the album.
Gotcha.
So when you asked if I was familiar with it, I was like kind of trying to be nice.
Yeah.
Because that's something I've learned about myself is that sometimes people don't want my opinion and I just give them my full opinion.
I love it. I love your full opinion.
Sometimes I'm like not good at sugarcoating things. And, you know, somebody will be like, yeah, what do you think of the new Taylor Swift album? And I'm like, it's terrible. It's a waste of time and never should have been made. And they're like, oh, because I really like it.
and then
it just like shuts down friendship.
You didn't get their opinion first before you just unloaded on them.
Totally. Yeah. So now I'm learning how to like temper that. And so that's why I was like, yeah, I think I heard a song or two because I literally was like, I don't need to hear the rest of this.
Yeah. That happened to me recently. I was half listening to a conversation that two other people were having around me. Like I was a part of the conversation, but I tuned out halfway for a portion of it.
Yeah.
And they were talking about this person and I was like, oh God, I can't stand that guy. And then I walked away from that conversation realizing that at least one of those people does like that person.
Oof.
And, I just kind of threw my opinion out there out of full context.
It wasn't a safe place to be a hater.
Nope, not at all.
Who do we want to shout them out on the podcast? Who's this person you hate so much?
His name is Rusty. nobody knows him. Nobody knows him who listens to this podcast.
He doesn't have any friends because he's a jerk.
Yeah, he's something else, tell you that much. let's move on.
Let's move on. But before we do, I do want to say, I can talk more about this later, but I actually found myself really loving this album.
Really?
Yeah. As much as I went into it thinking like, that album was rusty.
As much as you wrote off Spanway Hits when you first heard
totally.
It.
Totally.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's good to know.
I really love this album.
Awesome. I love that. Cool. Let's move on. Track number 8 is called On the Playground, comma, In the Wind. Oh, wait, just kidding. Mika is the name of the next track. I thought we were moving on way more.
It's a little taste out, for what's
yeah,
next.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It turns out those claws are hitting harder than I thought. Mika. I forget, how much younger are you than I am? How old are you?
I am 32.
Cool. I'm going to be 36 this year.
Nice.
Pretty gross. But are you familiar at all with an early Nickelodeon show called The Adventures of Pete and Pete?
You know, I didn't have cable when it was out.
Okay. All right. But you're not familiar with it at all. Like,
I'm not
even
I'm
later,
not
like,
unfamiliar. It looks cool as hell. I missed out on it.
Dude, it's such a good show. There were a lot of like people on that show as like cameos that I'm like, no wonder I turned out the way I did. Like Iggy Pop was on an episode and like Steve Buscemi.
I heard about Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, it's crazy. This song sounds like it could have been on the soundtrack.
Cool.
So the theme song is called Hey Sandy, and it is by a band called Polaris, and I'm going to show it to you right now, and you tell me if maybe this is in the same vein.
Jupiter or Thor is perfect. We need Atlas for our
We're going to skip this stuff. Right?
I'm just feeling good now.
Dude, this is one of the greatest theme songs of all time. A kid's show had no business having a theme song as cool as this one is.
You're so right. They don't really do that anymore.
It's such a weird show, and I miss it. And it's not streaming anywhere. It is not... there's no DVD box set. It just kind of exists in my memory.
Yeah.
And probably on YouTube.
And in the homes of Pete and or Pete.
Yes. What a weird show. What a time to be alive. And it really, it truly did, like, inform a lot of who I became as a person.
Yeah.
It's just this weird, like, Gen X, like, off-the-wall humor.
Well, and what's with the 90s that all the music was either like this, where it was, like, so, so bright and happy, or it was just, like,
yeah.
the most depressing, like, possible songs you could write?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it was about the 90s. I was too young for most of the 90s to pay attention to stuff like that.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Love this song. Love Pete and Pete. Stream it. Paramount. I think it would be a Paramount show because it was on Nickelodeon.
You know how this song makes me feel?
How?
Like I'm on a playground in the wind.
Wow. Well done.
If I had to describe it.
That's very specific. They should name a song after that. This was the second of three tracks on the album that didn't have a name when it was first released.
Another song that doesn't sound like a Shin song, really.
No, not at all. It's very kind of like, at least the production is kind of experimental.
Hmm.
And again, like that one, that dude only has this album to his credit, as far as I know.
And we don't really know the decisions he made because we're listening to the 2014 remaster.
Right, yeah. So that was Takahashi's decision on this specific version we're listening to. I kind of want to seek out like the original mix. I'd be interested to know.
I'm sure it's on YouTube. Probably. It's got to be on YouTube.
It's got to be. Yep. Oh wow, Ice King. This is like episode 3 of Adventure Time before the Ice King has that really sad, tragic backstory.
Sure.
So he's just a silly guy. He was like, Gunter.
That was a really good Tom Kenny voice.
Thanks.
You're really blowing it up in there, mister.
Okay, should we pause it before the next song?
It already started, but yeah, should. Yeah.
Can I say something a little not related to the song?
Absolutely.
So, Alan, I just wanted to say while I'm on the record and for your listeners to hear, but also for you to hear, that I think it's so cool how you're keeping this podcast going and you've invited me to do this podcast. And I don't know how you think about it, but I kind of see it as like, this is your art that you've really devoted yourself to. Oh,
thanks.
And like over the years, people have really taken it in and learned to love it and like appreciate it. And I just think it's really cool, like watching you work, kind of seeing you do your art and seeing how much you put into this podcast and how well you're able to make it.
Wow.
And I'm really glad to be a part of it today.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I love doing it. It's really only for like 20 people these days, but I do love doing it. So I appreciate your kind words and I love having you on, which is why I keep asking you back. that reminds me, we got an email from a listener the other day. Sammy.
Was it an email from Sammy?
It was an email from Sammy saying, please stop recording this podcast and pay attention to me. This gentleman named Eric, and Eric, I apologize. I'm not going to attempt your last name because I will insult you by pronouncing it incorrectly. But he emailed me about 3 days ago and said, I stumbled across your podcast a year or so ago. I think literally within a few episodes when one of the hosts left and the show went dormant briefly. Eric, apologies for that dormancy happening again so soon after you started listening. He said, I thought I'd send an email. You're running a fun show, and thanks for introducing me to a bunch of stuff I might never have tried. Never would have heard of Caligula, or heard some deserved praise for Marcy Playground, or have a good laugh at Clowncore. And I appreciate folks rolling their eyes at Tool despite me liking them. Anyways, I always feel for podcasters sending their work out into the world and not getting any feedback, so figured I'd let you know that someone out there was listening and thought your work was solid. Good luck. Thanks, Eric. I know I already responded to you in email, but thought I'd give you a shout out on this episode as well. So appreciate you. Thanks for listening. And thanks, Patrick, for your kind words. I don't really think of this as my art. I think of it as like a monkey on my back a lot of the time, just because like I've been doing it for 4 years. Might as well keep on going. So hearing you say that makes me want to do it more.
Well, I guess the reason I think that too is like, I don't want to assume that you don't have hundreds and thousands of listeners, but I think for a lot of folks, if they were doing this for a while and they weren't like making a ton of money or like getting a lot of praise,
like no money,
you know, let's say you're doing this podcast and you're getting no money and no praise, it would be pretty easy to like quit doing it.
Yeah.
Because those are like the things that we seek out. And so that's why it kind of feels like it's your art. Like it's something you want to do.
Yeah.
That is important to you, that you want to put out into the world.
Yeah, it is. It's like the only creative outlet I currently have, really. I don't consider like my, like playing music at church a creative outlet, because I'm not writing any of that music. So yeah, this is like all I got right now. And that's why I'm still doing it. I love doing it. It's fun.
It's fun to listen to.
And I like hearing the sound of my own voice. Oh man, don't give me a microphone. Anyway, yeah, thanks. I appreciate that.
Sure thing, dude.
Let's move on. This song, wow, believe it or not, this song is called The Shins. I fucking love this song.
Me too.
It's so good.
The Shins by The Shins.
The Shins by The Shins. This song constantly gets stuck in my head.
Really?
Unprompted. Just especially the chorus. I don't know. It's just so catchy.
Totally. I've never heard somebody. I mean, Doug Marsh is an example of another guy with like a really high range like that. But I've outside of the like indie rock world, I've never really heard anybody sing or sound like this.
Yeah. James Mercer just really goes for it. Like no one asked him to, but he but he's like, guess what, guys, guess what I can do. And then he does it.
He's like, I'm just gonna write all these songs in the highest possible note I can. Yeah. Hit.
Yeah, it's really frustrating for a guy who loves The Shins and also plays the guitar, because I can't sing most of their songs.
I hear that. I did some Shin songs in high school at like open mics and stuff, and I'm still embarrassed. Like,
just for trying.
Yeah, I mean, trying in front of the kind people at Insomnia Coffee in Hillsboro, Oregon.
Oh man, I forgot they did those.
Yeah.
Do they still do those?
I don't know. I don't go back there because I'm not in high school anymore.
Yeah. I saw Tyler recently.
How's
it had
he
been
doing?
A while. He was behind the counter at the Cannon Beach location.
Like a celebrity.
Yeah. It was weird. I hadn't seen him in a while. Oh, love that song. Let's move on.
Wait, first, can I put you on the spot with a Shins question?
Of course, yeah.
Where does this album fit in your the Shins album's rankings?
Wow.
If this is like a Shins album.
If it's considered a Shins album. Let's see. Number one for me is always going to be Oh Inverted World.
Wow.
I love that album. It really did change a lot for me. In just the like music that I listen to. So it's going to go Oh Inverted World. Then it's going to go Shoots Too Narrow, which was the next release. Then this one. And then Wincing the Night Away.
Wait, this is Flake Music's number two?
Number three.
Number three.
Yeah. And then Wincing the Night Away. But honestly, I kind of dropped off of the Shins after that album, Wincing the Night Away. I didn't really keep listening to like Port of Morrow and like all those.
Yeah.
Which bums me out because I do love the Shins. But I think that those albums came out at a time where like I had just moved here. And so like Christy and you had like given me just a ton of music to listen to. And
back
so
in
like
the iPod days,
I abandoned like all of the bands I was like listening to back home to really explore like the, just the tons of music that I had received from you guys. So I kind of fell off of the momentum, the Shins momentum really petered out for me.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of how it is for most people, to be honest. Like yeah. there's people who defend Port of Morrow and I think it's okay, you know?
Yeah.
But, it's like, they're pretty much a band with three albums,
yeah.
like a three album stretch. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then they haven't, unfortunately, they haven't really been good in 12 years.
Right. You yeah, know? Yeah. Yeah. Which sucks.
I'm sure they're still good live playing those old songs, mm-hmm. but like, there's just nothing. It's that's why it feels so good to love this album so much.
It's like, ooh.
It's like, I just got more Shins.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I never thought of it that way, but yeah, Port of Morrow really came out 12 years ago. That's insane.
Yeah.
Because that really was like, I moved here in 2011, and then I remember you just like, you took my external hard drive and just like threw a bunch of music on it.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this is what I needed. You're like, hey, check out this video of me without you performing at Cornerstone Festival, which I'm about to be at in like yep. a month. And yep. I was like, cool, yeah. But I was already like somewhat familiar with them before I moved up here. But you're like, you should check these guys out. And I don't remember what else you gave me. It was really good, though. And you continue to. Like, you just texted me recently about a band.
Frico.
Frico. Yeah, I almost called them Frisco. But
Frisco.
Yeah. Frico.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
I just think that's like a really impressive debut from them.
Yeah.
Like, they've never put anything out before. And it's like, it feels like... Not to make this episode about Frico, but it feels like the first time I heard Arcade Fire.
Ooh,
they have okay. a little bit of that like similar sound.
Yeah.
But like Arcade Fire was just going for it, you know,
uh-huh.
and like they were working for it and they were earning it. And that's what that kind of feels like. It's
Dude.
Like, I think it's like a two piece out of Chicago.
Okay.
But I could be wrong, but I heard it and I was like, I think I know who would like this.
Thanks for thinking of me. Dude, talk about another band where I was like, you had like three good albums and then dropped off. Arcade Fire.
Yeah, truly, truly.
Funeral, beautiful. Neon Bible, dark and brooding and
incredible.
Also beautiful.
Yep.
The Suburbs, pretty good.
And pretty then good. It's like,
what are the other ones called? I don't even remember the names.
Reflector.
Reflector with a K instead of a C.
If Reflector has no haters, I'm dead.
Yeah, for real. It's and Win Butler's just an asshole, so
yeah.
Does not deserve any of my listening.
Totally.
beyond the Suburbs.
I really hope James Mercer is not an asshole.
I hope so too.
I feel like he could go either way.
It's true. Yeah. So I've said it on the podcast before. I try not to listen to singles from bands that I really love before the full album comes out.
Same.
But I did listen to the new Decemberist single that they released.
Okay.
Because they have an album coming out in June and James Mercer is featured on it.
Whoa.
Did not like the song, however.
Bummer.
Only because it's too long.
Okay.
And if you listen to it, you'll understand. It's just pretty cut and dry melody and mm-hmm. structure, and it just went on just a little bit too long.
Okay.
Like, Chelsea and I listened to it, and we were talking, like, maybe 2.5 minutes in, and at one point we're like, wait, this song is still happening.
And if it was really what you wanted it to be, then you probably wouldn't have been talking during it at
True.
All.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Because
yeah.
you love that band so much.
So learned my lesson. I need to just wait until I want to hear it in the context of the rest of the album to see if I enjoy it a little more.
I think that's really important.
They've released 2 other singles since, and I haven't listened to them. So I'm waiting a couple more months. Wow, we really started talking about other stuff besides this band. So let's get back to it. This is the penultimate track. It is called Faded Polaroids. It's also the 3rd out of those 3 tracks that didn't have a name before this reissue. Okay, question for you.
I'm ready.
Who the fuck is that?
I don't know.
That's not James Mercer.
I gotta know. It's like it.
It sounds like John Roderick from The Long Winters.
Sure.
A little bit.
Sure.
But he wasn't in the band, so.
It reminds me of Guided by Voices.
Oh yeah.
That's
for sure.
That's the influence I'm hearing in this.
But yes. Like, yeah, not John Roderick. Yes, Guided by Voices for sure.
But why? Why is he this person?
I don't know.
Not credited, or why is James Mercer singing different?
I couldn't find it. I looked so hard, and I just looked it up again. I looked it up on Discogs. He is not listed in the liner notes. I don't know who this man is, and it's driving me bananas.
You know what I think it is? It's probably the same story as you ever listen to Bob Dylan's like Nashville Skyline album?
No.
Well, you know Bob Dylan's voice.
Yeah, he changes it a bunch.
And like, and then all out of nowhere, if you're traveling, and
his voice is
all like it's kind of like he's doing this like really guttural but not nasally voice.
Okay, all right.
That's probably what it is.
Probably. It's just James Mercer just fucking with everybody.
Exactly. He's trying it out.
Yeah, and I'm glad he abandoned it.
Me too.
It doesn't work.
It's not good for him.
Guided by Voices. It did give me like John Roderick vibes at first, but I could see that. Yeah, that fits way better. Okay. Last track. It's called Vantage.
We'll be right back.
There's not too much to say about this one because it's an instrumental.
It's another emo, slowcore, fastcore, instrumental.
What a bold choice to have an instrumental as your closing track.
Is it bold or is it just kind of amateur?
I think probably amateur, actually.
Yeah.
I think it falls under what you were saying earlier about them just trying to fill a whole album.
Totally. They're like, we only have 6 songs.
Yes.
We can't put this on a record.
Set up a mic. Let's just play some stuff. It really does sound like a jam session.
Totally. And it's good.
It is good.
I think it's pretty good instrumentals.
Pretty good amateur band.
Definitely. I think this is a strong debut.
Yeah. A strong Shins debut.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have final thoughts on this one, Patrick?
No, I mean, I guess my final thoughts is just that I was very surprised where this kind of like stood out from the Shins album for me was Shins albums is that it has this noodly guitar that we're hearing right now. Uh-huh. And I do hear it as Built to Spill. But also yeah. The guitar player for Built to Spill for a long time became the guitar player for Duster. Uh-huh. There's a lot of that emo crossover in that Northwest indie world.
Okay.
And so maybe that's where that is coming from.
Sorry, guys.
Sammy's got thoughts.
She's got some thoughts.
But so that was how this kind of differentiated itself for me was that it's just got that kind of more 90s emo kind of influence in yeah. just a tiny, tiny little way.
I love it. I love like 90s indie. Like, I just love this sound.
Me too.
Just jangly, noodly guitars. And
play it at my funeral.
Yep.
Play this specific song.
She has nothing to say. She's got a lot to say when I don't have the microphone in her face, but as soon as I put it in there,
Sammy's shy.
Do you have a playlist pick or should I do this one?
You know, I think you should, and I'm curious to know if you'd pick the same one as me.
Should we say our picks on three?
Yeah.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
The Shins.
Yeah. It's the Shins. Woo. Everybody. Woohoo. We're the same. I love that song so much.
It's great. It's a hit.
Would you stop? Stop whining. Never Alan, do a podcast
be nice
with a dog.
To me. Don't tell me to stop whining.
Never do a podcast with a dog, people. It's not all it's cracked up to be. I don't think anyone else is doing that, honestly.
Well, you wouldn't know because their dogs are around.
Yeah, it's true. And they're probably more professional and like edit the sounds of the dogs out. And I'm just like so low-key about it.
Yeah.
Like, eh, whatever.
I think a lot of podcasters got cats.
It's, yeah, probably.
Mark Maron, cat guy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he doesn't have a dog. For sure. All right, that's it. I will be recording from Wyoming next time we're on the pod. I'm going to have some very special people on instead of Paul.
That's so, really exciting.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Before we wrap, can I promote one of my musical projects?
Absolutely. Is it your radio show?
Yeah.
Yeah, please do. I listened to it, and it was fantastic.
I'm so glad you liked it. So I'm doing a radio show once a month, and it's through a group called Gutsy Radio.
Is that G-U-T-S-Y? Gutsy?
Yep. Yeah. Gutsyradio.org. And basically who they are is they allow DJs to broadcast shows. There's no limits. There's no guidelines about what it has to be. But it's all live. So when you turn on the internet radio, there's an actual DJ broadcasting live.
Yeah.
Or it's just not on at all. So they're never, it's not just a playlist that you're listening to. It's actual music being played by an actual person. So I do that. It's the every fourth Monday of the month. But y'all should check out Gutsy Radio. And I really love doing my show. It's kind of like this. I just get to play a bunch of music I like and I get to talk. And it's super awkward because there's nobody there that I'm talking to and I'm trying not to do like a silly radio voice, but yeah. I'm just talking to my computer and drinking wine in my kitchen. And, Esther, my girlfriend's there and she's just trying to be extremely silent. It's a pretty funny recording setup, but it's been really fun, and it gives me the same kind of joy that this does. And so
I love
that. If you don't know me, or if you do know me, and if you want to listen to it, just go to gutsyradio.org and you can find out all the information about my show and other shows.
Do we just look for Patrick Daler on there?
Yeah. Or? Except my DJ name is Patrick from Oregon.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Everybody's from all over the place. Right. And I believe I'm the only DJ from Oregon.
Cool.
So I'm just Patrick from Oregon.
Yeah, I checked out your best, your favorites from 2023 episode.
All right.
It was really cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thanks
to hear
for listening.
You. Yeah, you're welcome. All right, that's it. I think my dog's whining at me because maybe she'll finally go to the bathroom instead of tricking me.
Crossing my fingers.
So we'll see how that goes. See you next time.